Shemais Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the Bnei Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov Ish Ubeisebo. Together with Yaakov, every man in his household came. First of all, Kakasha, why does it say Ve'ela Shemais Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim? Could have said Ve'ela Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. Why the stress on Ela Shemais Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim? So, horror number one. Horror number two, the Medrash Rabbah says over here on this pasuk, Ve'ela Shemais Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim, was of the Medrash, Mikan Shehayu Kulon Tzadikim. Here you see that they were all Tzadikim. Where did the Medrash see from the pasuk? From here you see that they were all tzaddikim. So Yonison Eibshitz says a beautiful pshat in the Sefer Medrash Yonison. He says that in the Yalkut of Parshas Beshalach, it says that Noach's real name was not Noach, it was Hananiah. Noach is an abbreviated version of Hananiah, but his real name was Hananiah. So why was he called Noach? Because in his generation there were many sorcerers, many people that were Isaac and Kishuf. And he was afraid that because he was an individual, a yachid in his door, and the Rishom in his door wanted to wipe him out, he was afraid the sorcerers, the Kishuf machas, they have a kayak with names. So he purposely hid his real name, Hananya, and he was called Noach, an abbreviated version, so that their Kishuf should not take effect on Noach. It is a Dovri Yodua, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that from Tesamid Beis, that there were 10 measurements of Kishuf that came down to the world. Mitzrayim took 9 of those. Mitzrayim was the capital of the world when it came to Kishuf. So that's the case. How could the Bnei Yisrael openly go with their names? And the Torah is mefarshim their names. Why were they not afraid that the Mitzrayim would work their Kishuf on them, on their names, and then they would be eradicated? Elamai, this is where the Medrash took Mikansha Kulon Tzadikim. The Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin that there was this witch that tried doing Kishuf on Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. She took ground that he was standing on. She wanted to do witchcraft with it. So Hanina ben Doisa told her, you're not going to be able to do witchcraft on me because I walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadikim, Kishuf is not chal on them. So that's where the Medrash got it from. The Eilu Shemais B'nai Yisrael Habon Mitzrayimah. These are the names of the Bnei Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim, and it lists them outrightly. It doesn't make an abbreviated version. Why were they not afraid of the Kishuv of Mitzrayim? Mikan Shekulam Tzadikim Hoyu. From here you see that they were all Tzadikim, they weren't afraid of the Kishuv. And this is why the Torah puts the stress on Ve'ela Shemois Bnei Yisrael. Not just Ve'ela Bnei Yisrael, it stresses. The names over here are the way they were without any change. Mikan Shekulam Tzadikim Hoyu. From here you see that they were all Tzadikim. On the word Ve'ela Shemais Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim Haboim, that are coming. Lashon Hayve really should have said more accurately, it would have been Ve'ela Shemais Bnei Yisrael Asher Bo'u, that came to Mitzrayim. But think of the past. The word Haboim is Mashma, that were coming. So I saw a beautiful word from the Ksav Sefer. Ksav Sefer says that the derech is that when a person comes from a faraway country and he's an immigrant to a strange land, so in the beginning he finds it hard to accommodate. He's still an outsider. He doesn't know the ways of the land. He doesn't know the language of the land. He doesn't dress like the people in this country dress. But slowly but surely he accommodates, and he gets together with the rest of the people. He takes on their language, albeit with an accent, but he speaks the language of the people. He takes on the customs of the people. He starts getting dressed like them until the imamish looks like one of the regular people. The Torah is telling us over here, Ela Shemais Bnei Yisrael Habodim, they were constantly like comers for the first time. The Shvatim, they never integrated with their society. The Shvatim, from the beginning till the end of their time, that they were there, they were always buoyant, they were always as if they just came. They weren't willing to integrate into the society of Mitzrayim. It was only afterwards, after the last of the Shvatim were Nifter, that's when the Bnei Yisrael already, they started leaving Goshen, they started looking out past their ghetto in Goshen and trying to integrate with the people of Mitzrayim. But The Shvatim themselves, they were always boyim. Like the first moment when they came, they remained in that very same matziv. They were always boyim from the beginning till the end. The Gemara says, Mesechtis Bava Basra, the Vayin Gimel Amid Beis. There are numerous tales that Rabbi Bar Bar Chona said over. Tremendous, fantastic tales which about the Bria, tremendous creations in the world that he saw. One of the things that he says was, one time we were on a ship, and there was a fish, a large fish, in the water that sand had accumulated on the back of the fish, and we thought that it was an island. So we got off the ship, and we settled on the island, and we made ourselves comfortable, and we built a fire, we started cooking, and then all of a sudden, when it got too hot for the fish, it turned over on us, and we were cast back again into the sea. And if the ship would not be close by, we would have drowned. So one of the Mephoshim says, I believe it's the Ritva that learns Pshat in the Gemara over there. The Rabbi Bar Bar Chona was telling us a lesson about the goes. The ship represents Knesset Yisrael that rides through the sea, waves of the ocean, that represents the turbulence of goes. Sometimes we see an island, we see a goes, we see a land that we settle in. Knesset Yisrael settles on that land, and really there's supposed to be strangers there. But as soon as they make themselves comfortable, as soon as they feel at home, then that land turns over on us, and it turns out that this wasn't really an emesdic land for us to be in. It was a fictionalized land as far as we were concerned. There's really a fish that turns over on us. And if these chusim, the ship, this chusim of Knesset Yisrael would not be within our range, we never would have survived. A person has to realize that in Golas, he is always from the boyim. He's never supposed to integrate with the society. Meshnetzach, he has to be a good citizen. Meshnetzach, he has to live by the law of the land. But he has to maintain his identity. He has to maintain his minhagim. He has to maintain the mesira that he received from Ruach Yisrael Saba. That's how boyim, to always be considered like they just came. Pasuk goes on to say, Vayimoreru es chayehem. They embitter their lives ba'avodah kasha, with hard work, b'chomer with pitch, u'bovenim with bricks, u'b'chol avodah ba'asodah, and with all work of the field. Mentioned once before the Zohar HaKadosh on this week's parasha, b'chomer do kal b'chomer. This is referring to the kal b'chomers. U'bovenim, what is levenim? Do libun shmeitza libid the hilchasa. It's referring to working out the sugya and coming up with the halacha l'mais. So everybody asks the kasha, like, what's the connection between the hard work of Mitzrayim and kal v'chomer? Chomer is kal v'chomer. Levenim is libun shmeitza libid the hilchasa. What exactly is the connection between the two? So I saw that the Mayonah, many pshatim are set on this, but I saw the Mayonah Shel Torah brings down v'shem. I'm going to Nachum Zembe. That the Torah over here, Beremize, is telling us how to survive in the Golos. It's hard work in the Golos. The Golos is pressurized. It's difficult to live in the Golos. You want to know the key to survival? The makom where there's chaymer, the makom that there's hard work, be Isaac and kal v'chaymer. That'll lighten the burden of the Golos. The makom where there's levenim, be Isaac and leave in shmeitzer, leave in the hilchazit, be Isaac and tarishim alpeh. That will lighten the burden of the Golos. That will be able to help you survive the Golos. The machshakim hashivani. In the darkness, he placed me, Zev Talmud Babli. This is referring to Talmud Babli. There's various pshatim in that chazal. But the machshakim ha'yishivani, everyone's heard of pshat. In the darkness, how was I able to settle in the darkness and survive the darkness? Zev Talmud Babli. By being Isaac and Torah Shabbat Peh, that is the lifesaver that we're able to hold on to in the darkness of the Golos, and the Mela were able to survive. There was somebody, a Baba Bas, once asked Rabbi, wealthy Baba Bas. And Shtikul Talmud Chacham also, he really asked the tongue-in-cheek. Baron was darshening about the Yimud HaTorah. So this Baba Bas asked Baron, he says, you know, I'm a big supporter of Torah. I'm going to get my Yilul HaPoh already. You know, Yisachar is a fool, and Smasun B'seischav, Yisachar B'yolecha. So what do I have to learn for? I'm going to have my Yilul HaPoh anyway. So Baron answered him, Zichah, Zichah, you'll have your Yilul HaPoh. what kind of an Olam Hazeh is it without Yigud HaTorah? To be able to survive the darkness of Golus and Olam Hazeh, a person has to have the sweetness of Torah. And that's what it's telling us over here. B'chaymer, behind the scenes, there's got to be the Kal B'chaymer and the rest of the Yud Gimel Midas and Torah that rests back to be able to survive the Chaymer. B'levenim, to be able to survive the Levenim, Dov even Shmaitzah, Leva the Hilchasa, that is being Isaac in the working out of the Sugyas, Leva the Hilchasa. Vayavidu Mitzrayim is Bnei Yisrael Beforech. And the Bnei Mitzrayim, they made the Yidden work Beforech. Hard work, breaking labor. As I'll say, what is Beforech? Beferach, with a soft mouth. Beferach, the simple pshat that is, that L'chatchila they enticed the Bnei Yisrael, come out, be part of our society, work with us, we'll pay you, everything will be good. They sweet talk them, and in that way, they convinced them to come out to work. Beforech is beperach. Now, it is very interesting to note that the word that represents the labor, beferach, with a soft mouth, is the exact opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, who was a kfad pen. Mamish mikotel akotzen. The siva for the avodah was beferach, soft words. And Moshe Rabbeinu is called the kfad pen, the exact opposite of that. What is the nekuda over here? What is the lesson to be learned from this? So I once heard the Gemara of Bava Basra says that the words of the Yetzirah, the word Sichain, Sichain Melech HaYamayri, the word Sichain is like the word Sichon Noe, sweet words. Person that goes after his Yetzirah, he goes after the sweet talk of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah always talks pleasantly. Oh, this is so fine, do this, it'll be good for you. You'll never hear harsh words from the Yetzirah. Because the Yetzirah always wants to entice you to doing things, you know, that you shouldn't really be doing. So he built it up with sweet words that superficially sound good, but there's nothing behind them. Moshe Rabbeinu Lehebuch was the kvad peh. He said the words that are harsh. He said the emes. He said the words that don't always seem so pleasant. You know, the Torah has in itself certain words that are kosher to eat. It says the emes the way it is. The truth is not always easy to accept. But adarab, the truth is, which is the compass that gets us to the right place. So v'nigud to the perach of the Yetzirah, the sweet talk of the Yetzirah, power who represents the Yetzirah, and sweet talk to Bnei Yisrael with superficial words, k'neged the Mashiach Shel Yisrael, was the kvad peh. He was the man with the heavy mouth, the one that spoke words that represented kovid, that represented the Olam Malchus Shamayim, that places a burden on a yid. And the biggest glick, the biggest schus that a yid has is that he's makabel on himself the burden of Olam Malchus Shamayim, which comes from the kvad peh of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bichlal, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh, we know that the Medrash says, how did it come about? Because when he was a little boy, by Paroi, and they were choshen him of being the Mashiach Shel Yisrael, so Paroi said, let's test him, let's see how smart he is. And they put in front of him hot coals, they put in front of him precious stones. He was about to pick the precious stones. The Malach pushed his hand to the coals and he put it to his mouth and he ruined his dibur. That's how it happened with Lamaisa. But why did it have to be that Moshe Rabbeinu was taka kvad peh? Why? There has to be a reason behind it. The Lamaisa happened that way. But why in Hashemayim was it nigzer that Moshe Rabbeinu should be a kvad peh? There are various pshatim said by the Mefarshim. It's Yodua the Drosh's Haram that says that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh was so that the nations of the world should not say that the only way Moshe Rabbeinu was able to entice the Bnei Yisrael to come was with his great oratory skills. You know, he was able to speak well, he was able to inspire them, but there wasn't really much to what he was saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the words of Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the Bnei Yisrael close to Hashem Mitzad Atzmon, not because he was a great orator. Today you see politicians that are great speakers, right? They speak mamish so eloquently, but they say nothing of consequence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka wanted it to be. The words of Moshe Rabbeinu were right mitzat atznam, not because he was great, he had great oratory skills, but mainly he made him to be a klapeh, and even so, afal pikein, the B'nai Yisrael followed after him. The Yalkut Me'am Wayez says, another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that way, because he didn't want that Moshe Rabbeinu that speaks directly to the Gevurah, directly to Hashem, should be the same mouth that speaks directly to Paro. So Pasnish, there had to be a melech between the two. The melech he made it that Moshe Rabbeinu should be a kvad peh, and that he wouldn't be able to communicate directly with Paro. There would be a tzorech for Aaron, and in that way, there'd be somebody in between Moshe and Paro. But there's yet a third reason brought down. Rami Prax is a Niflidic reason. What is the Koyach HaDibur? Where does Koyach HaDibur come from? So, the Pasuk says in Bereshis, by the creation of Adam Arishon, Vayipach B'yapov Nishmas Chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into the nostrils of Adam Arishon the soul of life, Vayihi HaAdam L'Nefesh Chayim. And Adam was a Nefesh Chayim, a living being. What is the types of a living being types to time unculus? L'ruach m'malala, a spirit that talks. We see from over here that the koyach hadibur comes from the blend of guf and neshama. A neshama by itself cannot speak. Malachim and shamayim do not have the koyach hadibur. A guf by itself, animals, balei chai, do not have the koyach hadibur. The koyach hadibur comes from the blend of guf and neshama. When Hashem breathed the neshama into Adam Arishon, that is when he received the koyach hadibur. This, by the way, is why the Rambam, when he speaks about the halachas of Dibur, the halachas of Nidorim and Shvuas and Charonim that come about because of the mouth, he puts it under the title of Haflo'ah. Because Haflo'ah in the Torah, the Koyach HaDibur is called Haflo'ah, Ish Ki Yachli, Linder Neder, Nozer Lahazer Lashan. The Koyach of speech is a pella, it's a wonder, because it's a blend of Guf and Neshama. These are Tarti Desasri, these are two things that are contradictory to each other, and Afal Pikein HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them coexist, and that tie of Guf and Neshama is what keeps the Koyach HaDibur within the person. That is a pella. When we say every morning, Roifech HaBosu Umafli La'asais, the Ramah says, what does Umafli mean? The koyach of keeping together the guf and the neshama, that is a nes, a tremendous nes, that's the umafli lasis, and the mail through that also comes the koyach hadibur. The mail is up to Marau. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the koyach hadibur could not have been regular. By a regular person, the koyach hadibur comes from the blend of guf and the neshama. By Moshe Rabbeinu, his neshama wasn't so firmly implanted into his guf. His neshama was higher than his guf. And l'fi the measurement that his neshama was not so firmly implanted into his guf, that is where his koyach hadibur was lacking. That is why he was a kvadpeh. His neshama was l'mayla from his guf. It didn't have that regular fusion together with the guf that a regular Ben Adam has. The Megla Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kvad Peh, so Dovkir felt it was lacking in his Koyach HaDibur. Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Har Sinai, it says, Vayomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Al Tikrav Haloim, do not come closer to here. Shalna Alecha Me'al Raglecha, remove your shoes from your feet, Ki HaMokam Asher Ata Oymer Olov Agnes Kodeshu, because the makam that you are on is holy ground. So I saw a beautiful pshat, Sefer Gan Rove, brings that from the Edus Yosef. Edus be Yosef, he says like this, it's Yodua, that one of the people that's considered committing suicide, Ma'abed Asmai Ladas, is somebody that walks barefoot in the Midbar. Because the Midbar is full of nechashim, snakes and scorpions. The person that walks barefoot doesn't stand a chance. So that is someone that's considered ma'abed atzmei ladas. In Masechtas Shabbos it says, one of the nisim of the Beis Hamikdash was, Me oilam lo yhizik nochash va'akar of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a makam of Kedusha. Memelo, there was never a snake or a scorpion that was mazik in Yerushalayim. So according to that, you have good shot over here in the Pasuk. Shalni olacha me'arag lecha. Remove your your shoes from your feet. I will time you in a midbar. And that the Torah says, the makom that you're on is Akmas Kodesh. This is Daimit Yerushalayim where the Shechina is. And this makom, the Nechoshim, the Akrovim, they cannot be Mazikim. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Ro'oi Ro'isi, I have surely seen as Oni Ami, Asher in Mitzrayim, the affliction of my nation, my people that are in Mitzrayim. V'sa'akosam shamati, mibnei noiksav, I've heard their screams because of their taskmasters. Ki yodati esmach oivav, because I know their sufferings. V'erid la'atzilayim yad Mitzrayim, and I'm going down now to save them from Mitzrayim. So a couple of oras on the pasuk. What is this double lashon? Ro'oi ro'isi. It's types I have surely seen. But why was it necessary for this double lashon? Could have said ro'isi as only Ami Hashem in Mitzrayim. Why the double lashon? Ro'oi ro'isi. Also, what does it mean? V'gam yodati esmach leivav. And I realize their pain. If you see their pain in Mitzrayim, but Shteitzach, you realize it. What was that Kodesh Baruch Hu being Moisiv with Kiyodati Esmach Leibov? So the Beis Halevi says a pshat over here. He says sometimes a person could be suffering and he himself does not realize what his real suffering is. Lamash, say a fellow was very wealthy, super gvir, and he lost all of his nechasim, lost everything, and he became a pauper. And now he suffers from hardships. He's hungry, he doesn't have a place really to live, and he suffers from the daily hardships. So, number one, he's suffering from today's living. He's living under hard times. But benoisiv to the tzara, compared to what he once was, his original covet, his original fame, that's also totally gone. But the person is so taken up with his tzaras of today that he forgets what he once was. He's not even worried about that. That's not even in his psyche. He's so busy trying to survive today. The Bnei Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, they were so taken up with their suffering of right now. So one thing was their suffering of right now, but benoisiv to that, they fell me'igra rama from the highest peak, lebira nikta. They were sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They came from a noble family. They came from riches, saibagashmi, saibaruchnias. And today they were so preoccupied with their tzaris that in addition to their tzaris, they also lost their original gaiva, their original greatness, their original pride, their original ruchniyistic legacy. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki yodati, I know their pains. They themselves don't realize the pain anymore. They've sunk so deep into the gullus, they're so preoccupied with the tzaris of today, they themselves don't know the real suffering. Ki yodati, I only know their suffering. And that's the double lashon, ra'oi ra'isi, a double lashon of seeing. I see what they're suffering now, but I see further than that. I see what they once were. That's an extra suffering. That's kiyodati, something that only I know. And they themselves have reached such a low, they don't realize what their precious legacy was. Just recently, my mother's older son, I was in the hospital. So there was a nurse taking care of her. And I see that her name, last name is Seiferman. Well, was not from at all. Didn't look like she really had much shaykhus. So I asked her, do you know what the word Seiferman means? She has no idea. So I was masking to her what a Seifer is. A Seifer is a scribe. He writes Sifrei Torah. He writes mezuzahs. He writes tefillin. It's the holiest things, but her eyes widened up. She never heard of such a thing. She says she has to go back and tell her father. She, you know, her family originates from the Ukraine. They didn't know much. But like to her, it was a chiddush gadol, Seiferman, you know. Bechlal doesn't know what her legacy was. Her zayin was probably a Seifer, a Talmid Chacham, you know. And she has no idea from that, you know. And how many people today that are assimilated, they have no idea that Elta Zaydas and Elta Babas used to cry over the Tehillims and Harv over the Gemaras. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yodati esmach leivav, only I know their pain. They themselves don't realize the pain. And Ro'oi Ro'isi, I see what they're going through today, and Ro'isi, I also see where they come from. It's a double tzara. So maybe the Kipshat. Vayayimeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Onoichi Elokei Avicha, I am the Hashem of your father. And then it continues, Vayaster Moshe Panov. Moshe Rabbeinu hid his face. Kiyorim Ahavet El Elikim. So Chazal say there, Drosha, that Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch really wanted to be Megala himself to Moshe. Moshe was afraid to look. And later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hareini Nos Kvedech, I want to see your covenant, Hashem says, Kishir Rotzisi, Loi Rotzisa. When I wanted, you didn't want, you hid your face. Asher Shir Rotzisa, Loi Rotzisi. That's Al Pi Chazal. I saw Pshat in a different vein, in a different light, from the Sefer Toldos Chayim. He says a beautiful pshat. To reach Kabbalas Omal Choshamayim, there's one of two ways. There's the simple way, there's Emunah Pshuta, without any big philosophy, without any Grisha V'Chakira. This is what I heard from my father, and my father heard it from his father, and he heard it from his father. There was a Messiah that was passed down through the generations. That's Emunah Pshuta. There's a second Mahalach. That's the way of the Chayim, the philosophers, that they're not Seinuch on Emunah Pshuta. They have to think it through, they have to be Dairish, they have to be Chayim. Where do you see that there's a Rabbeinu Shloim? And they have to come to the Hakara Al-Yidei their own perception. The emphasis is that way of Grisha V'Chakira is very dangerous. Because if a person is Seinuch on Grisha V'Chakira of his own mind is limited, his own mind is subjective to his own typus, and one never knows where his own mind can lead him astray. Memela, the best way of reaching Kabbalas Omar Hashemayim is Al-Yidei Emunah Pshuta Kachki Balti Me'avayisai. And you're Seinuch on that Emunah Pshuta. So he says over B'Shem Rav Shimon Sofer of Moiri D'Kizach, we have a minig that by Kriya Shema, we put our hands over our eyes while we're Makabal Amal HaShemayim. So what's the pshat? Our eyes, what we see, that represents understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we see it logically. We see it with Seichel. But when we're Makabal Amal HaShemayim, we put our hands over our eyes and we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, we want to be Makabli Romal Hashemayim, not because we see it logically, not because of our Drisha V'Chakira, but because we totally believe in you without seeing. The fact that we're Makabli from our fathers, and they were Makabli from their fathers, that is why we believe in you. And in that way, we're Makabli Romal Hashemayim. She says, that's the pshat in the pasuk over here. Vayomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, if you want to know the best way of Kabbalas Omal Hashemayim, Onoichi Avokei Avicha, I am the Hashem of your father. And his father was Makabal from his father. That is the best way of Kabbalas Omal Hashemayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, Vayaster Moshe Espanov, he hid his face, he hid his vision. He didn't want to be Makabal and be what he saw logically. Ki Yorei Me'Habit El Elikim. He was afraid of seeing it with his own vision. He wanted to do it Alpi. That's the way he was Makabal Me'Avayisa. Interesting story. Rav Leib, the son of the Chofetz Chaim, once bought a sefer Chovetz Halbavos, not Chovetz Halbavos. He bought the sefer Moira Nevuchim from the Rambam, the Guide to the Perplexed, which is a philosophical work which the Rambam wrote in a philosophical way because the people in his time believed in Aristotle, his way of thinking. So the Rambam wrote it would be their way of thinking to be Makarim, the Perplexed of that time. So Rav Leib bought the sefer, he brought it into the house and he put it down on the table. Then he went off somewhere. Chofetz Chaim saw it. He took it and he put it away somewhere. He hid it. So Leib comes back and he sees that the sefer is missing. He already understood on his own that his father took it away. He put it away and he didn't say anything. A while later, the conversation came up about Moira Nevuchim. So Chofetz Chaim said that the Moira Nevuchim was necessary for people that were perplexed. People that were trained in the way of thinking of Aristotle, for them the Rambam had to write the Sefer to talk their language. He says, but people that are well entrenched in Emunah, and they were Mekabel Me'Avoseihem, and they're well versed with Inyanei Chazal, and the way of Aristotle is alien to them, Moira Nevuchim is not for them. And he added, in previous generations, they went after the philosophies of the foreign nations. Now there's no need to go into the philosophy. That's the, over here, Iker way is a muna that you're makabel from your father, Vayaster Moshe Ponov Ki Yor Mahavet El Elikim. He talked, wanted to be Mekabel Al Pi his father. A good Shabbos, everybody.